I'm excited about that. Just a second. You know, technology, I mentioned it last night. Boy, I tell you, it's so far in advance, it's almost impossible to keep up with. And of course, I don't have that magic touch for us. Technology. Only know what I know. Keep it simple. And I think the word is simple. It can be complicated if you want to, but it's actually very simple. What we have to do is be obedient and let it apply, and let it work in our lives, and let your life change to fit the word. It's not designed for the word to fit your life, your schedule. You don't have to get on his schedule. And what's one of his schedule? Today. Cool. So it all matches. It all fits. So we got to do a little recap here, but Shabbat Shalom. This is the 14th Torah portion. Boy, and we're moving along. I tell you, it looks like it's moving so fast. And it really is. We're in 14 already, and You can't wait for the next one because we stop halfway to plagues in this one. But you know that there's still more to come. So, and what did Moshe have to do? Moshe had to be obedient. He tried to get out of it. And sometimes we try to get out of situations that we don't love. When he puts you here, this spot ain't always comfortable. When you see Pastor here and you sitting over there, it's comfortable. When you get here, you feel the pressure. And this is what Moshe was feeling. He feel the pressure because remember, he's got to go back to Egypt. You just come out of Egypt, and you got to go back there and get your people. Our people is one reason why we're here today. We owe it to Moshe and to our forefathers. And we're going to see that. And it's by error, which we had that already, but in a different setting. It was just, this is when I appeared. Last time, and he appeared. He appeared to Abraham. And it sounds the same, but it's spelled different. But it's Hebrew for, and I appeared. And it was in the readings in Exodus, Shemot, chapter 6, starting at verse 2 through 9:35. And the Haftorah was Ezekiel 28, 25 through 29:21. So, there's always a lot to read. There's always something to do, something to read. And if you think when you read it all, just keep reading. Or go through the slide. If you don't know how to get the slide, get with someone that can help you out and get them. Because they're very important too. It helps you in your reading, in your studying. You know, I really enjoy them. And not all the time we go to them, but it is a help. It's definitely a good tool. So we're going to bypass some of the topics. Because we read the topic last night and so I got a text message when Pastor said for us to go back, basically, and so we can really see the name of Yehovah. And let's look at his name and why his name is so important, that we should know his name. We should not be ashamed of his name. He said, I appeared to Abraham. He said, as El Shaddai. And we're going to touch on that because El Shaddai is the Almighty One. And well, you know, that's what his name is. It is Almighty. Amen. It's all powerful. Amen. And we're going to look at a couple of words. And we'll not get to it. I don't want to jump too far ahead. So let's just read just a little recap right here in some of the slides in chapter 3. I know we're in chapter 6, but we're going to tie it in here in just a moment. And Moshe was shepherding the flock of Yitro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the wilderness, and came to Horeb, to the mountain of Elohim. And the messenger of Yehovah appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked and saw the bush burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And can you imagine going outside? And I was thinking, I pondered that for a minute, because I think about fire, the destruction that it does. Burns everything. There's nothing in the world today that you cannot burn. It might burn at different degrees in life. I don't care what it is, it'll burn. It might not spark, but it'll burn. But I can tell you, I've seen metal. You can melt metal to where it finally catch fire. It'll burn. They try to even go to the refineries. Was back in my time. They try to encaps them with cement and stuff. It doesn't matter because it's still going to melt. The fervent heat. So you imagine this fire and Moshe looking at it, coming around to see it, and the bush ain't even, it's on fire, but it's not burning. That defies logic. That's how awesome he is. That's how awesome his name is. Because you see something burning, it'll burn to a crisp. So, y'all get that, right? And Moshe said, remember, hey, I'm going to tell you, like I told y'all last time, you don't amen me, this is going to go long. That's what my uncle used to say, if you don't amen me, this will be a long service. But if you amen me, might cut some corners here and there. All right. So they don't hear nothing, that means I'm going to keep on going. And Moshe said, let me turn aside now and see this great sight. That was a great sight. I've never seen anything on fire, never in my life, something on fire not burning, not being consumed. That's only Yehovah can do stuff like that. That's El Shaddai. Why the bush does not burn. And Yehovah saw that he turned aside to see. And Elohim called from the midst of the bush and said, Moshe, Moshe. And he said, here I am. When he calls, that's how you should answer. Here I am. When he speaks your name, he knows your name. Do we know his name? That's the question. Because to know his name is to know his word. It's to know who El Shaddai is, know who Yehovah is. To know his word. And not only to know his word, to live his word. That's what he is. And we know that Yeshua, he lived that word. Because he is the word that Yehovah spoke. The living word, the living Torah. So to say that we don't need this, you don't need Yeshua. And he said, do not come near here. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place in which you are standing is set apart ground. Yah has a place that's set apart. We know that for a fact, because later on we're going to read when they get to the mountain, what he said, set boundaries. Mm-hmm. I was sharing with my nephew this morning. I said, don't look at the Torah as laws. I'm going to help him out with his podcast. Don't look at it as just look at a set of rules as a law that people take and they twist it for their own destruction, what the scripture says. Look at it as a set of boundaries, a set of instructions. And instructions in what? In righteousness. And how a man should live, how a woman should live, how we should act, how we should carry ourselves. Your character means a lot. His character means a lot. And when you lower the standard on his character, when you defame or defraud his character, you take his name in vain. We use it. And we take it in vain. And what I read last night, if you wasn't here, he said, you will not go and punish those who take his name in vain. You know what I believe? We got to be careful. So take your shoes off. And we know it, like I said, I gave you all the reason for that. Why? Because he was from the priestly order. And we know we get that later on, because when he goes in the set apart place, there's no shoes on the priest's feet. And he said, I am Elohim of your father, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Yaakov. And Moshe hid his face, for he was afraid to look at Elohim. He was in not fear like a, it's just respect. He knew, because he knew the voice that spoke to him, though he put his face down. I would have too. Out of respect and reverential fear, knowing the one that can destroy you like this. And Yehovah said, I have seen the oppression of my people. He sees your oppression today. He knows your oppression. Who are in Mitzrayim? You know, and today we are in Mitzrayim. We're not in Egypt over there, but this is considered a Mitzrayim, this world, because why? The world wants to keep you in bondage. So think of Mitzrayim as the world trying to hold you in bondage. And how they do that? By a false system of Babylon. That's why he says, come out my people. Come out my people. Come out my people from what? From Babylon. Come out from Egypt. Because it's a false system. And you get enslaved to that. And look, when you get caught in that, you're enslaved and ensnared in that, it's hard, it's very hard to come out. It's only by His mercy and grace that we come out of it. Amen. You have to come to your senses. You'd be like, no, you'd be like you'd be eating slop with the pigs. This is why we drive it so hard. We do. The importance of it. So why? Yah loves you. I love you. That's one of His character traits. He don't want to see you perish. I don't want to see you perish. That's the thing. So are we supposed to be like Him in His likeness, created in His image? We like what He likes. We hate what He hates. It's just as simple as that. There's no bending on the rules. He don't bend. What He said, and we're going to get to that. What He said, Moshe had to do. Amen. It's just point blank. And Yehovah said, I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Mizraim, have heard their cry because of the slave drivers, for I know their sorrow. This is what was happening to them back there. Oppression on them. It's no different today. He's not whipping you and building brick, and we're not building towers, but you have your own oppression in life. Everybody has them. And I've come down to deliver them from the hand of the Mishra. I'm glad He come down to deliver you. I'm so glad I've been delivered out of that. I was caught up in that false system. And to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land. See, He just want to bring you anywhere. To a land full of milk and honey. To the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And now see, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I've seen the oppression of which the Mishrite oppress upon them. Yah knows, He sees. When you think that nobody's watching, trust me, somebody's watching. And now come, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Mizraim. And Moshe said to Elohim, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Mizraim? Who am I? I'm just but mortal man. That's all we are. He's not asking you to do something, put a cape on. He's not asking you to go stop a locomotive. He's asking you to be obedient. And when He calls. Because He not only loves you, He wants you. He don't need you. We need Him. But He loves us. He loves us so much. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for your family, for your children. But it starts with you and I. And if we don't get it right, what are the hope of your children? Of my children? What are their possibilities? What are their chances if we can't get it right as parents? Who am I, Moshe asked. What a question. Who am I? So Yah's going to tell him. And he said, because I'm with you. That's who you are. Because I'm with you. That's all you need. He said, when you have no one else to stand with you, you stand. But stand in truth. Truth will deliver you. Truth will set you free. He said, I'm with you. And this is to you the sign that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Mizraim, you are to serve Elohim on this mountain. And Moshe said to Elohim, see, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the Elohim of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name, and what shall I say to them? This is where Pastor got the text. I said, go back and read this. So we can explain. I really wish he was here to explain this part. But I'll do the best I can. Because he didn't give me any notes on it. So I got to go look for myself. What is his name? And Elohim said to Moshe, I am that which I am. And he says, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So I had to go, of course, when you go to read this, we got to look at these. The footnote. The Hebrew text read Ia, Asher Ia. The word Ia being derived from Hayah, which means to be, to exist. But the Aramaic text here in verse 14 reads, Ayah Asher Ayah. Ayah Asher Ayah means I am the existing one. He always was. Nobody created him. He created us. He is the potter, and we are the clay, what the prophet Jeremiah says. He molds us and makes us into who we are, into his fashion, into his likeness. We don't get a say in this. He says, remember my set apart day, my Shabbat. He said that. I'm just the one repeating what he said. Because how many of you know, everywhere you read in scripture, Yah had a man or a woman to say what he wanted them to say. Not what they said on their own account. What he wanted them to say. I am the existing one. Ayah Asher Ayah. The Ayah Asher Ayah, verse 14, the Aramaic. Some people say it's the I am that I am. I think you might have a picture of it. But anyway, it really saying, I will be what I will be. That's what he's saying. So if he wants to be the fire that burns the bush and the bush don't consume, that's who he is. He is El Shaddai, the Almighty. And that's what we can't forget, because we're about to get to that. So when we read it, look, go Google it for yourself. You don't have to take me because I'm the speaker. You look at it for yourself. And go back and check. If you find something that I find different, hey, I apologize. I'm gonna see what you had to say. But this is what the text says. This is what it's when you go look it up. The name, his name is 8034 Sham. You can look it up. I know these people say Shem. But in the Hebrew, it's a shame. You gotta look at the little deal over the letter. And the name is reputation, fame, glory. The name designed for God. It's a memorial name. When he says his name, it's a name to be remembered. There's no other name like it. It's where we get the root word Shamayim. The heavens where he dwells. The abode where he looks down from, where he looks down upon us. You see these root words. Just go, all I say, you just got to look it up for yourself. I am that I am is a common English translation of the Hebrew phrase, Ayah Asher Ayah. I can't read that. Also, I am who I am, I will become what I choose to become. I am what I am, I will be what I will be. I create whatever I create, I am the existing one. You don't get a say on what he prescribes. You don't get a say, you don't get a say. He does. The reason why I say that, because he says, we're going to get to it a little later. In the reign of the heavens. He talks about the reign of the heavens. You ever talk about what the reign of the heavens are? It's his boundaries. The reign of the boundaries. If he's a king, he's the almighty king. He has laws. He has rules. It's set apart like none else. And if you want to be in that reign, in them boundaries, to him where he dwells, you have to obey. That's just point blank. We're not saying nothing different than anybody else is saying. We're just telling you have to obey. That's the difference. What everybody else is, some people don't obey. And Elohim said further to Moshe, thus you are to say to the children of Israel, Yehovah Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob. He repeats these guys over and over and over in scripture. I'm going to show you a little later on. Why all these guys? Because these were the foundations, were the promise. He made a covenant with them, and you want to be part of that covenant? You can be, or you cannot be. don't know if that's proper English grammar. You can be a part of that covenant. Only you can sever you. It's not the pastor's fault, not the speaker's fault, or anyone else. It's your fault. That's why he said, look in the mirror. He gives you a demonstration. Look in the mirror and see what you, and don't forget the person that you were just looking at. Because only you sever yourself from the source of life. When you graft it into the vine, you suck what the vine sucks. He gives you good old-fashioned H2O. You get a good old-fashioned H2O from the vine. You can't say, well, you've been drinking the wrong water. That ain't going to work. Whatever nutrients in the ground that you get, he gets it and he gives it to you. We're grafted into him. He's not grafted into us. We've been looking at it wrong. We're wrong. He's right. Amen. He said, let the word be true. Let every man be a what?
Liar.
Liar. Remember we had that word last night. Mm-hmm. And the Elohim of Yaakov has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this is my remembrance to all generations. He said, I appeared to Abraham as El Shaddai, but trust me, he knew his name. That's just, El Shaddai is just another title of his name, Almighty, because that's what he is. The word forever, H5769, Olam, always, everlasting, evermore, and this is my favorite one, eternity. That's how long you're going to know his name. Forever. Eternity. Go look him up. H5769. The word is Olam. And remembrance is H2143. Zabar is the memorial or memory. H2143. Zibar. Zibar. Yeah, you look it up. You'll hear it. Because sometimes they get a little tricky. And you know, this is when you come to the yeshiva, this is what it's about learning. It might not always come out right, but we're going to give you the scripture on it. But it's forever to remember his name. As children, Lord, I mentioned it last night, there's nothing more coming to a child when he walks with his daddy or his mama. I see little Cass. Every time I run around little Cass, he runs straight by his daddy. And why? He ain't afraid of his daddy. That's security there. Mm-hmm. That's security by your father.
Amen. Thank you,
Father. I hope that explained it. That he is almighty, all powerful. There's nothing he can do. He'll be what he's going to be. And when you don't stand for him, he's going to raise up someone else. And when time expires, your time expires, he's someone else gonna carry the torch. He has his people in place. It don't stop. You become when Shabbat gonna end, his word don't stop. This keeps going and going and going. Kind of remind me of a roller. When y'all there in the golf, them rollers come in from miles and miles and miles. You always know the way to come in. Just follow a roller. But you never know where you wind up. But it'll lead you in. That's what the word. The word is designed to lead you into him. Not away from him. It's to pull you in. To draw you close to him. Why? Because that's where security is at. And we need security. Whew. All right. That was just a warm up. And I'm sure that if Pastor was here, he can touch on it way more than more better, like I like to say. All right, let's look at the, read a little bit. Let's read some of the text. And Yahweh, I know it started 6:2. And Elohim spoke to Moses and said, I am Yehovah. What a sentence to start out with. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai. And by my name, Yehovah, was I not known to them? He made known to them. Just because we don't read it, we don't see it in the text, he made it known to them. So we don't have to get confused about it. And I also established my covenant with them, and gave them the land of the Canaan, and the land of their sojourning, in which they have sojourned. And I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Mishrites are enslaving. And I have remembered my covenant. So therefore, to the children of Israel, I am Yehovah. Who is this? He is Yehovah. If you're the children of Israel, you in here? You children of Israel?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Y'all children of Israel? Raise your hand. We claim to be children of Israel? Hey. Because you grafted in. Look around now. Look at that way. That way you all identify with us. Because we know who we are in the house. And I am Yehovah, shall bring you out from under the burden of the Mishrites, and shall deliver you from their enslaving, and shall redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And I shall take you as my people, and I shall be your Elohim. And you shall know that I am Yehovah, your Elohim, who is bringing you out from under the burden of the Mishrites. And I shall bring you into a land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Yaakov, to give it to you as an inheritance. I am Yehovah. He repeats his name over and over. You know why? He don't want us to forget it. It's a memorial. I know you might have been taught this a long time ago. We should have. But if we have it today, how precious it should be today that we know his name. Know the name of your daddy.
Thank you, Father.
We should know his name. And Moshe spoke to the children of Israel, but they did not listen to Moshe because of shortness of spirit and from hard slavery. And under some time, look, it get bumpy in the way. And distractions will come. Well, we can't forget who we are. You're children of Israel. You just identify with me in here. So I see you. So we're part of the covenant with him. And you know when you're part of that covenant? There comes instructions. There comes rules. Not your rules. Not my rules. It's his way. How do you say that? It's my way or no way at all? That's what he's saying. It's his way. And when Yeshua says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to the Father except through me. There is no other way. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe. Look, in hard slavery. That's Mishraim. Nobody wants to be in that. That was tough times for them back then. I mentioned last night, like I said, I don't know how accurate it is, but we have extra biblical text that says these things. That when they couldn't make their quotas, you know what they used? That when they made brick? Because there was no straw. Well, Pharaoh made their life hard, bitter. So I can see why they're a little upset with Moshe, because when Moshe went in to plead the first time, the Pharaoh said, look, take away their straw. Let them go out there and glean and make sure they get their brick, their quota, every day. You know what they use? Babies. They use babies in place of the bricks that you couldn't make. Pharaoh didn't use his baby. Just go check stuff out. History. History tells a story. What we got to do? History, language, and context. We have to leave it in its context. And know the language. We know English very well. We don't know the Hebrew. That's why we need to learn. That's why we come to his house and learn in the yeshiva as a family. Go in, speak to Pharaoh, Saul of the Mishraim, verse 11, to let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moshe spoke before Pharaoh, saying, the children of Israel have not listened to me. And why would Pharaoh listen to me? For I am of uncircumcised lips. Throwing up an excuse right there. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe and Aharon and gave them a what? A command. For the children of Israel and for Pharaoh, Saul of the Mishraim, to bring the children out of Mishraim. Nick, it goes through genealogy, so I'm going to skip that. Let's look at verse 26. And Aharon and Moshe This is Aharon and Moshe, to whom Yehovah said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Mizraim according to their divisions. Do you think they ran out wild? Like you see the movie with Charlton Heston, The Ten Commandments? That ain't how it was. Ain't when all big old man rush out of Mizraim. It was in formation. Go read the story. I know what Hollywood puts out there. And it looks good. It really does. Makes for a good movie. I like The Ten Commandments. Like, I don't mind watching it. But now that I know the truth, that when you sit down with someone, you can share, look, they didn't run like a bunch of couillons. I used that word last night. They were in formation and by fives, by their division. That means in their company. If you were the Levites rolled out together. The Yehudites rolled out together. The Simeonites, they rolled together. That's what he's telling them. Ain't just everybody running around like a bunch of couillons. This is some awesome stuff, yeah. They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh saying, spoke to Pharaoh, Solomon of Mizraim, to bring out the children of Israel from Mizraim. This is Moshe and Aharon. These are Yah's guys. And it came to be on the day when Yehovah spoke to Moshe in the land of Mizraim, and Yehovah spoke to Moshe saying, I am Yehovah. Speak to Pharaoh, Solomon of Mizraim, all that I say to you. Another a command. Could Moshe say what he wanted to say? Could he say his own words? And Moshe said before Yehovah, see, I am of uncircumcised lips. And why would Pharaoh listen to me? You think Yah hears that. But he goes to one ear and comes out the other. Chapter 7. And Yehovah said to Moshe, see, I have made you an Elohim. Watch how Yah fixed the problem here. You uncircumcised lip, I'm going to fix the problem for you. To Pharaoh, I'm going to make you a God to Pharaoh. Not the Almighty God, but you're going to be a God to him. Because he's going to see you as somebody different. He's going to see when he said Moshe is coming again today. I can only imagine Pharaoh. He's coming again today. And Aharon, your brother, is your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you. And Aharon, your brother, shall speak to Pharaoh. I'm going to fix your uncircumcised lip right here. That's what Yah is saying. I'm going to tell you, but Aharon going to speak for you. It's okay. Yah has a solution to all our problems. But we have to be obedient. Amen. To let the children of Israel go out of the land. He said, but I'm going to harden the heart of Pharaoh and shall increase my signs and my wonders in the land of Mizraim. Now we read that part. Why is Yah doing that hard? He's strengthening his heart. Because Yah knows he ain't going to turn loose anyway. And when you go, and reason why Yah, because Yah wants to teach you a lesson. Because you know Pharaoh's hard-headed. I know nobody's hard-headed. I'm probably the only one hard-headed in here today. But you know Pharaoh's hard-headed. A tête dure. Not a French word. It's hard-headed. So you're going to teach him a lesson. But you're going to teach him the hard way. Because why? Pharaoh got all these gods. He even claimed himself to be God. That's why when you go reading the book of Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 28, where the Haftorah is at, he said, I'm going to show you. He said, I'm going to teach you. Now, this is kind of my words right here. But you go there and say, because you said, you made the now. And then I'm Elohim. God, Yehovah said, I'm going to show you. We'll see how much Elohim you are. So go read it for yourself. We're not going to get to it, I promise you. But I'm going to harden his heart. I tell you what, that's terrible. When Yah has to go that length to harden your heart, to teach you a lesson. When he says, I want to remove that heart of stone out and want to give you a new heart, a heart of flesh. One that obeys, a want-to heart. He don't want to harden your heart. But in this situation, he's got to teach him because everybody looked at Pharaoh as a god. And that's what he was claiming. And all his followers. And shall increase my signs and my wonders in the land of Mizraim. He wants to show his El Shaddai-ness. Amen. what he's saying. And Pharaoh is not going to listen to you. He already knew that. That's why he strengthened his heart to say no, 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 no. And the people, I guarantee you, because you see, at one point in time, the people said, how long is this man going to be a snare to us? They coming to Pharaoh. So what do you want to do? We're going to get to that, boy. I tell you, this is good. He's not going to listen to you, and I shall lay my hand on Mitzrayim and bring the divisions and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Mitzrayim by great judgments. He's judging. He's going to judge every one of his gods that he's claiming that he has. The god of the Nile and the frogs and the flies and the locusts. We're going to read about these gods. And the Mitzrayim shall know that I am Yehovah. You think they're going to know his name? I guarantee Moshe screamed his name to Pharaoh. When I stretch out my hand on Mitzrayim, and I shall bring the children of Israel out from among them. I love this next verse. And Moshe and Aharon did as Yehovah commanded them. Yes. So they did. He had to obey. And how did the little saying go? If it's good for the gander, it's good for the goose. Yeshua did not obey the command so you can disobey. Let's get that out. He said, don't even think that. That's what he said. Think not. What do? We think it anyway. Because I've heard people say that. That Yeshua obeys, so I really don't have to. That's nonsense. You know what you are? Liar. And Moshe was 80 years old, and Aharon 83 years old, when they spoke to Pharaoh. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe and Aharon, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourself, and you shall say to Aharon, take your rod and throw it before Pharaoh, and it become a serpent. So Moshe and Aharon went into Pharaoh, and they did so as Yehovah commanded. And Aharon threw his rod before Pharaoh and before his servant, and it became a serpent. Can you imagine that? But Pharaoh also called the wise men and practiced of witchcraft. You know what the Torah says about witchcraft? The magicians of Mitzrayim did also with their magic. Right there, I would have been blown away to see people throw a rod down and it becomes a snake. I've never seen that. And you know what? I probably really don't want to see that. Because that's, like I mentioned last night, that's probably some, that red right there is probably some black magic, witchcraft. He said, don't even fool with that stuff. Don't go snooping around it. He said in the Torah, when you bypass it. Don't dig into it because you may not come out. That stuff on the internet, that stuff in the cities, that's billboards. We gotta be careful. Or like the little kids, be careful. What we see, what we take in, because I can promise you, it's not one of his nutrients that you grafted into. You don't get that from him. So where does that come from? And they threw each one down his rod, and they became serpents. But the rod of Aharon swallowed up their rod. And Pharaoh's heart was strengthened, and he did not listen to Yehovah as Yehovah had said. That's why he told that to Moshe, he was not going to listen. Even though you do that, he's still not going to listen. So he's going to show him the Almighty, what he can do. Let's look at the first plague. In Shemot 7:20, and then we're going to do a little skipping. I'm going to take that back. Not 7:20. Yeah. Water in the blood. And Moshe and Aharon did so. As Jehovah commanded. Could he do it another way? As he commanded. And we're going to see that over and over and repeat in scripture, as he commanded. And they lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the rivers in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of the servants, of his servants. And all the waters that were in the rivers were turned to blood. And the fish that were in the river died. And the river stank. And the Mishrites were unable to drink of the river, waters of the river. And the blood was in all the land of Mishraim. And the magicians, here we go, of Mishraim did the same with their magic. And the heart of Pharaoh was strengthened. And he did not listen to them, as Jehovah had said. Well, these magicians wasn't no slouch now. Got to give them a little bit, just a little bit of credit. When you can turn water into blood, ooh boy, you fooling with some bad stuff. And that stuff is real today. Look, they put it in cartoons to make it appease easy for the children. But you got to be careful what's out there. Because what, the serpent, what I read last night in John, he said when he speaks a lie, not lies, a lie, where it started from the beginning, a lie. And he's been lying ever since. Let's look at the second plague. There's just so much to read, but and because we don't have no midrash, we're going to skip. I'm going to try to get as much as I can in. In Exodus chapter 8, verse 5. And Yehovah said to Moshe, who's doing the saying? Yehovah speaks to Moshe, his man. Say to Aharon, he never said to Aharon, he said to Moshe. And Moshe, you say to Aharon, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams and over the rivers and over the ponds and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Mishraim. So Aharon stretched out his hand over the waters of Mishraim and the frogs came up and covered the land of Mishraim. They covered them. Y'all know how I feel about frogs. My wife can testify to that. I'm not a frog guy. As long as he's over there, and I got no problem with it. I just don't want to touch it. And I don't want it touching me. And the magicians did so with their magic and brought up frogs on the land of Mishraim. And I thought right here when I got to this, they can bring the frogs up. But you're going to see right here, there's a little shift. And Jehovah, if you read slow, you're going to see some of his power right here. Because why? They got a call for Moshe and Aharon to get rid of the frog. What's wrong with your magicians? He brought them up. But now you can't get rid of them. You go digging this stuff that you can conjure up and you can't get off of you. You need Jehovah. So we got to watch what we fool with. Young people, especially. That technology is out to grab you. Mm-hmm. It will grab you if you're not careful. That's why he says, guard my word, guard my Torah with all your heart. Learn it, breathe it, eat my flesh. What did Yeshua say? Eat my flesh and drink my blood. But they couldn't understand what he was saying. He's talking about the word. He's always referring back to the word, what his father said. Let's look at the next plague. Skip on down, verse 16. And Yehovah said to Moshe, say to Aharon. He said to Moshe, Yehovah said. Scott not saying, I'm just repeating what was already said. Stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so it becomes gnats in all the land of Mishraim. Or some translation might say lice. It depends on what you have. But this same difference. They go together, gnats or lice. When you look them up, it's in the same category. And they did so. And Aharon stretched out his hand with the rod, with his rod, and struck the dust of the earth. And it became gnats on man and beast. Now you know where gnats come from. A woman never asked for that. Like so you hear the joke. A woman asked for that. No. All the dust of the land became gnats in all the land of Mishraim. Look, just the little gnats we face here. We run from them. And the magicians did similar. Uh-oh. We've seen a shift in words here now. They did similar. Before they were doing it. Now they're doing similar. With their magic to bring forth naught, but were unable. You know why? Because you cannot produce life. Life comes from one source. And it's from the root that the vine is connected to. And that's Yehovah. That's who he is. El Shaddai. I am who I am. I'm going to be who I'm going to be. That's what he is. That's who he is. He's the root. And the vine. What do you think the vine sucks from? There had to be a root system. The vine just don't grow without a root. All these connect when you connect the dots. You have to let the language say what it says. Leave it where it's at. Because he's the root. We don't support the root. The root supports us. Amen. That's why he said, Nathaniel said, anything good come out of Nazareth? Why? Because Nazareth was dry. There was nothing good come out of Nazareth. He said, but there's a shoot. It's going to come. Remember that picture? The path, I think it was last year I shared. It's later on. I know we're going to come to it later. But it showed the old dry root, but there was life that sprung out. He said, out of a dark place, out of dry, out of Nazareth, a root is going to stem forth. Boy, I tell you. Preach myself happy. Preach myself happy. The magician couldn't do so because they were unable. And they were natural men and beasts. And the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of Elohim. But the heart of Pharaoh was strengthened, and he did not listen to them, as Yehovah had said. Well, I tell you, I could only imagine the things that were happening then, that we read about these stories. But I picture them in my mind, the gnats, because I know what gnats are here. And they're bad. Nobody likes them. I was out there just the other day, like my wife would tell you. Couple of days, I'm in the yard, I'm trying to spray poison. The closer I was getting to my in-law, the worse they were getting. I had to turn around and come back home. It's true. I was like, you know what? I hung back up. Hey, you ever seen fast spraying? Boy, yeah, I was spray that poison. I told my wife, I quit. I'm coming inside. That's what they do to you. Poor boy. Huh? They were gone in my father-in-law property, I can tell you that. Because the more I was getting over there, the worse they were getting me, boy. I tell you, look, you can't do nothing. I don't care who you are. You can be the toughest man whoever you want. Them little bitty old gnats, when they swarm together, you cry. You hear me? You cry. I've hunted times when I've been in the marsh, when I was a couillon, I would put mud on me. The more you put the mud on, the worse they got. Instead of just pick up and go home because I want to hunt so bad. Not no more. I ain't that couillon no more. Oh boy. Let's move on. Let's go to the next plague. Number four, flies. And that's in 8:23. Let's go to 22. And in that day, I shall separate the land of Goshen. That's where, boy, we should be camping. I love me some Goshen. In which my people dwell, that no swarm of flies shall be there, so that you know that I am who? Yehovah. In the midst of the land. And I shall put a ransom between my people and your people tomorrow. This sign shall be. He's letting me know tomorrow, this is going to happen. In Mizraim, there were flies. But in Goshen, no flies. And there were neighbors. So it's kind of like the gnats. All the gnats were falling. I'm out. There wasn't that many gnats. I'm going home. So this is what we're saying about the flies. They were grievous in the land. Let's read on. I don't want to give you my definition. And Yehovah did so. And thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh and to his servants' houses and to all the land of Mizraim, that the land was ruined because of the swarms of flies. I've seen flies, thick flies. I worked on the Poke Boat years ago. and you ain't never seen flies like I seen. You may have, but I can tell you. And when they leave their little larvae, their little egg, when you got to shovel them out, that's thick. And Yehovah did so, and thick swarm of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and to all the land of Mishraim, and the land was ruined because of the swarm of the flies. And look, you don't think them flies don't bite? You get them little biting flies? They draw blood in your leg. Don't think they don't. Pharaoh then called for Moshe and Aaron, said, go swarm the Elohim in the land. Mm-mm. You got to keep reading. Let's look at the fifth plague. In chapter 9, verse 3. Verse 2. If you refuse to let them go and are still holding them, see the hand of Yehovah is on your livestock in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the cattle, and on the sheep, a very grievous pestilence. And Yehovah shall separate. How you know when you see this separate? You see when you flip the pages back into the Brit Hadashah? That power and authority goes to Yeshua. Yes. And you know what he says? I'm going to separate the sheep from the goat. There's going to be a time of separation. Now I'm sorry. I'm going to break it out. I'm telling you what he said. Not everybody's going to make it. There's going to be a separation. Amen. You can make it. You should want to make it. But there's going to be a separation. Amen. And only why? Because you refuse to listen. We refuse to listen. Not you, me. We refuse to listen to his word. Between the livestock of Yisrael and the livestock of Mishraim, and let no matter die of all that belongs to the children of Yisrael. Can you imagine all their stuff dying, but you still got all your stuff? And Yehovah shall set the appointed time, saying, tomorrow Yehovah is going to do this word in the land. It's his word that he's going to do. And trust me, he's going to stand by his word because he is his word. He ain't going to break it for nobody. He ain't going to break it for me. He won't break it for you. So you can say you got uncircumcised lip till you're blue in the face. Doesn't matter. You're not going to change his mind. The sixth plague. This was a good one. Let's look at verse 8. And Yehovah said to Moshe and Aaron, fill your hand with the ashes from the furnace, and let Moshe scatter it toward the heaven, toward the eyes of Pharaoh. Think about this furnace, because we're going to cover that. And it shall become fine dust in the land of Mishraim. And it shall cause boils to break out in sores on man and beast in all the land of Mishraim. So they took ashes from the furnace that stood before Pharaoh. And Moshe scattered them toward the heavens, and they caused boils, breaking out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians were unable to stand before Moshe because of the boils, for the boils were on the magician and on all the Mishrites. But Yehovah strengthened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them, as Yehovah had said to Moshe. Still saying no, refusing. Let me tell you, these ashes were from the fire pan of Pharaoh, from the god Moloch, where they burned the babies. The ashes. He's with these ashes. No. I ain't gonna have to make up the story. Go look for yourself. Go do your own homework. That's what we say here. Go do your own homework. Don't just take it because I'm the speaker. Go look it for yourself. Go dig it out for yourself. Go not go look it. I'm sorry. Go look for yourself. I'm sorry. Sometimes it comes out funny. These were these ashes. That's why Yah used his own stuff against him. To show you his power, his awesomeness. And he's almighty. Take the ashes from your God and create boils. And so, I don't know if you ever had a boil before. They're painful. very painful, and they're nasty. Trust me. Especially if you're in a spot where you're exposed, where people can see it. You're on the bottom of your feet, you don't even want to walk. They hurt. And the seventh plague, this is where the Torah portion stops. In 9:22, and Yehovah said to Moshe, stretch out your hands toward the heavens, and let there be hail in all the land of Mizraim, on man and on beast, and on every plant of the field throughout the land of Mizraim. And Moshe stretched out his rod toward the heavens, and Yehovah said, thunder and hail and fire came down to the earth, and Yehovah rained hail on all the land of Mizraim. I know we just had that in Sodom and Gomorrah, where he rained fire and hail and destroyed them. He didn't completely destroy Mizraim, because we still got to go through more plague. But you're going to read later on that the Pharaoh's servants say, don't you know the land is ruined? Not just because of the hail, because of everything, all the destruction. Because he said, well, I'm going to put his judgment on your gods. I'm going to show you who's the real almighty God. There are a lot of gods in the world today. Only one true Elohim. Amen. And that's the one we got to be paying attention to, his voice, his kol. That's that word kol in the Hebrew. And the hail struck in all the land of Mizraim, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And hail struck every plant of the field and broke every tree of the field. And only in Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. But what he told them before that, he said, I'm telling you right now, you better go get your servants inside. You better go get your animals inside. And some of the Mizraims, some of the Egyptians, they listened. They were catching on. Sometimes, you might have gone a long way before you really catch on. That you come to your senses, you realize, maybe I've been messing up. And the ones that obeyed, because they knew Moshe, when they heard Moshe was coming again, and he said, what? Go get the cattle, go get our servant. We better go bring them in. They were spared. You read that. But the ones that didn't, oh my. You know what happened? You read the story, it tell you what happened. Yahweh rained on them. And trust me, when he rains hail, it was in that little peanut hail that we get down here. You read in Revelation, there were 100-pound hail going to destruction in the book of Revelation. We're not even going to get to that. So give you an idea of what some hail. I don't know what the size they were. But if you didn't bring your servants in, and your cattle in, your livestock in, you were dead out there in the field. So it was that big enough to kill you. Well, I tell you. And this is where the Torah portion ends. And it's so good. Because we're going to see a great deliverance come out of here. So I'm going to hit the pause right here, because not only in Moshe's life. Let's look elsewhere. Let's look in 1 Samuel. Shemuel. Chapter 11. And Nahash, the Ammonite, came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us and we shall serve you. What? Why are you making a covenant with the enemy? Because right here, this is what this is. This is what the story talks about. They want to make a covenant with the enemy. You have Yehovah. How quickly we forget. You have him. You already have a covenant. You have been bought with a price. You're purchased by the blood of his own son. You have a covenant. Let's read the story. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, for this I make a covenant with you, that I dig out all your right eyes, and I shall bring reproach on all Israel. See what the enemy wants to do? He wants to cripple you. What Mizraim want to do? They were wanting to cripple the Hebrews. Yah's people. This is what the enemy wants to do. Let me gouge out your right eye. Make that covenant. How many want to take that covenant? Yeshua makes a reference to that. He said, if your eye offend you, you can pluck it out. Go pluck out your eye. Or if your hand offends you, cut it off. But you know why? You know why? History. Go back in history and read it. Why you want to guard out your eye and make a reproach against Israel? Because when you're a slingshotter. Let's go in modern time. I'm not going to try to bring you back too far in history, but you can look this up. This is the way I shoot. I hold my gun on my right shoulder. If I gouge out my right eye and I got my right, it makes you awkward. Your aim is off. This is what he was talking about. Because you know what fighters make it. Not everybody shoots arrows or everybody shoots slingshot. You guard your eyes, it's going to cloud your vision. You're not going to see straight. Your tongue is going to be off. And that's why the enemy wants to cripple you. This is what they make a covenant. Let me gouge out your eye. Come on now. And the elder Yibish said to him, "Leave us alone for 7 days. We've got to think about this." Really? The enemy's trying to gouge out your eye. You want to give me 7 days? And I'm going to give you an answer? "So that we send messengers to the borders of Israel, and then if there's no one able to save us, then we shall come out to you." If we can't find a man. I mean, you know, y'all have the man, though. Y'all have someone. And sometimes the man, when he puts him in, you need to be looking at that man. Don't try to find a fault in him. Find what Yehovah is saying. Listen to the words come out of his mouth. Kiss the words. Remember we had that with Joseph? "And the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul." This is Saul. Shaul. It would be a Hebrew name. "And spoke the words in the hearing of the people, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And look, Shaul was coming behind and heard from the field. And Shaul said, 'Why are the people weeping? What are you crying about?' And he relayed to him the words of the men of Yabesh. And the spirit of Elohim, the spirit of Yehovah, the spirit of El Shaddai, came upon Shaul mightily. And he heard these words, and his displeasure burned greatly. And he took a yoke of cattle and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout the border of Israel by the hand of the messenger, saying, 'Whoever does not go up with Shaul and Shamuel to battle, let this one be done to his cattle.' And the fear of Yehovah fell on the people, and they came out as one man." "And they mustered them in Bezek. And the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Yehuda 30,000. And they said to the messenger who came, 'Say this to Yabesh Gilead, tomorrow, by the time the sun is hot,'" woo boy, "'you shall have help.'" Oh, the battle's coming tomorrow. But you're going to have help. Be ready. "Then the messenger came and informed the men of Yabesh, and they rejoiced." They were sad at one time. They were crying. "We're weeping. Who are we going to do? Now, Lord, by the time the sun gets hot tomorrow, help is on the way." I mean, know Yehovah, help is on your way. Whatever you're going through in life, help is on your way. He knows. He hears your cry. He knows. When you don't think nobody's listening, he's listening. "So the man of Yehovah said, 'Tomorrow we come out to you and shall say to you, do to us whatever seems good.' And it came to be on the next day that Shaul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the camp in the morning, watch, and struck Ammon until the heat of the day. And it came to be that those left were scattered, so that no two of them were left together. And the people said to Samuel, 'Who said, shall Shaul reign over us? Bring the men so that we put them to death.' But Shaul said, 'No man could be put to death today, for today Yehovah has wrought deliverance in Israel.' And Shamuel said to the people, 'Come and let us go to Gilgal and renew the rain there.' And there they slaughtered a peace offering before Yehovah. And there Shaul rejoiced and all the men of Israel very greatly." You see a great deliverance here. In the time of Samuel and Saul. But we know that he disobeys. And he paid for it with his life. Yes. Him and his sons. Yes. Because Samuel gets on him. "Why have you not obeyed the voice of Yehovah? Mm-hmm. Why you acted this way? Does he not give you a command? It's to obey. It's to better than sacrifice. But I want to read this part here too, because this is so very good. We need this. In chapter 12, and Shemuel said to Yisrael, "Look, I have listened to the voice and all that you said to me, and I have set a sovereign over you," because this is what the people wanted. "And now look, the sovereign is walking before you, and I am old and gray, and look, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my youth to this day." From a young boy, when he was calling Shemuel, he said, "Here I am." That's what should be our answer. "Here I am." Look, verse 3, "Here I am. Witness against me before Yehovah and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I oppressed? Whom have I abused? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe, with which to blind my eyes? Then I restore it to you." Because what happens, if we're not careful, you can be bribed. The Torah talks about that. Blinds the eyes. Especially if you're a witness when you go to court. Witnesses are valuable. The witnesses are valuable today. But you know, under the table, you can be bribed. How I know that? Because this is what they did in Yeshua's time. They paid men to come and lie. You never know that until you read the Torah. Because it blinds the eyes. So Samuel is asking these questions. "And they said to him, 'You have not oppressed us or abused us, nor have taken any bribe from anyone's hand.' So he said to them, 'Yehovah is witness against you, and his anointed is witness today that you have found naught in my hand.' And he answered, 'He is witness.' And Samuel said to the people, 'It is Yehovah who appointed,'" who? "Moshe and Aharon." You see, when you go look into the scriptures, what stuff you can find? When you want to spend time with him, when you want to learn from him, these little nuggets will pop up. I read this last week, not knowing I'll be here today talking about this story. "Who appointed Moshe and Aaron, who brought your father up out of the land of Mitzrayim. And now stand still so that I judge before Yehovah concerning all the righteous acts of your..." Righteous acts. Where do you get that righteous act of Yehovah, which he did to you and your fathers? You show that in Matthew. He said the righteous act of Yehovah. Because when we get into the Brit Hashem, we see Yeshua, which we know he is, him and the Father are together. But we're talking about the righteous act of Yehovah, the El Shaddai, the one we should know his name forever. "When Yaakov had come to Mitzrayim, and your fathers cried out to Yehovah, and Yehovah sent Moshe and Aharon." What is the Torah portion about? Moshe and Aharon. "Who brought your fathers out of Mitzrayim and made them dwell in this place. But they forgot Yehovah." The very next verse. "But they forgot Yehovah their Elohim." How sad. Like I said last night, if somebody walked in here and paid all your debt, you would remember his name. I know I would. And when I'd see him, anytime I'd see him, I'd kiss him. "But they forgot Yehovah their Elohim. So he sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hatzor, into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the sovereign of Moab, and they fought against them." Now this is a whole other story. But Sisera is your enemy. And we know the story. We read later on in the story of the book of Judges, a woman delivered them. So don't say that this is all men. It's women too. It applies to. "And they cried out to Yehovah," verse 10, "and said, 'We have sinned because we have forsaken Yehovah and serve the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and now deliver us from the hand of our enemies, and we serve you.' And Yehovah sent Yerubbaal, and Bedan, and Yiptah, and Shemuel to deliver you out of the hand of your enemies round about, and you dwell in safety." You read also these stories. These are stories that's in there in the book of Judges. This is who he's making reference to. And now here is the sovereign whom you have chosen, and you have asked, and see, Yehovah has a sovereign over you. Oh, did I lose my... My bad, I'm sorry. Verse 12. And when you saw the Nahash, saw that Nahash, sovereign of the children of Israel, came against you, you said to me, no, but let a sovereign rule reign over us. When Yehovah your Elohim was your sovereign. He was the one leading you and guiding you. He's your king, but you know, we're not satisfied sometimes with that. We need something we can see that we can touch. But you know what? Yah accepted it. Because if he didn't, he would have rejected it. But he allowed them to have a sovereign. And now here is your sovereign whom you have chosen and whom you have asked. And see, Yehovah has set a sovereign over you. If you fear Yehovah and serve him and obey his voice, cold. And not rebel against the command of Yehovah, then both you and the sovereign who reigns over you shall follow Yehovah, your Elohim. But if you do not obey the voice of Yehovah, you see how that Mount Gerizim and the Mount Ebal, that's blessing and that's cursing, that's life and that's death for those who are obedient and disobedient. We love the blessing. Well, we love that. But nobody, remember, that's cursing also for not obeying. And this is what he's making reference. But if you do not obey the voice of Yehovah and shall rebel against the mouth of Yehovah, then the hand of Yehovah shall be against you and against your fathers. And now stand and see this great matter which Yehovah does for you. Does before your eyes. See this great man. What he was doing for Moshe and Aaron? These great and mighty wonders. He did them through the hand of Moshe and Aaron. But they had to be obedient. And it's no different than us today. We have to be obedient. I have to be obedient. And now stand and see this great matter which Jehovah does before your eyes. Is today not the wheat harvest? Let me call to Yehovah so that he sends thunder and rain. Know then and see that your evil is great, which you have done in the eyes of Yehovah in asking for yourselves a sovereign. Yeah. It was evil in the eyes of Yehovah because Yehovah was upset. Why do you want someone? I'm here. I'm your husband. Ladies in here that don't have a husband, I'm your husband. I'm your covering. I'm your protection. I'm your king. The men in here that you don't have a daddy, I'm your daddy. Not me, he is. I know I said it, but he is. So let's hope we don't get twisted. Because that seems to happen a lot. We twist the words a little bit. It does happen. So this is what Yehovah said. I'm your daddy, I'm your husband, I'm your provider. And Samuel called to Yehovah. And Yehovah sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared Yehovah and Samuel. I respect my pastor when he's speaking. Because I know he's speaking the words of Yehovah. I'm not afraid of him as a man. But for what he says, for what he stands behind, I'm in fear. Because I know what he stands for. And the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to Yehovah your Elohim that we do not die. For we have added to all our sins this evil of asking for ourselves a sovereign. And Samuel said to the people, do not fear. Yehovah says that today. Do not fear. You have done all this evil. Only there's a condition. In his word. This is a command in his word. This is why we need his word. We don't just disregard it. I'm going to use every minute, sister. I know. Only do not turn aside from following Yehovah. Don't do it. He's telling you, don't do it. There's the tree of life, and there's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eat from this tree freely. Leave that one alone. One lie. You won't surely die. One lie. And Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have done all this evil. Only do not turn aside from following Yehovah. And you shall serve Yehovah with all your heart. All in. Everything. Every day. Not just this day. Because tomorrow is coming. You're going to need this word tomorrow. And every other day of the week, we need him. And do not turn aside after worthless matters, which do not profit or deliver, for they are worthless. Let me tell you, that's some worthless matters out there. You shouldn't be disturbed by them, because Jehovah said these things were going to happen. It might be new, but it ain't new to him. And he tells us about it. He warns us about it. But like I said, you can get caught up in it if you want to. If you want to. As for me and my house, yeah, what did Yehoshua say? We will serve Yehovah. Amen. And that's the message today. Look, that's some more stuff I really would love to get into. I need another hour. I remember my first time being up here, I couldn't go a half hour. Now, 17 minutes. Thank you. But now, I can burn another CD with ease on this next subject.
Amen.
So we're going to stop right there. Because this is some good stuff. You know, like I said, then go back from last night. Chew on it a little bit.
Yes. Very good.
Because we need it. I need him. He don't need me. I need him. He is the root. And the vine, we definitely need the vine. Because you ain't getting to the root without the vine. You won't enter into the rain. In the book of Matthew, which I want to touch you a little later on. I heard on the podcast last night. It's his way. He's the way. He is the vine. We don't self-exist without him. We can't teach others to not obey the commands. That was on the podcast last night. Well, it was on Thursday night, but I listened to it last night. We have to teach others to obey him, so you will be called great in the reign of the heavens. Not called least, because you're not going to be in the reign of the heaven if you're teaching someone to break his rules. I can promise you, it's much deeper than what it just says. You're not going to be in his boundaries, because he set boundaries for us, that we don't wander, we don't go astray. That's why he said, he anoints my head with oil. Because you know sheep sometimes wander, they go astray. They put the oil in there for the bugs, sometimes they go in their nostrils, or sometimes they're in the thicket, they're in the fence. He knows they're going to graze outside around a little bit. So he anoints them with oil, and so they can pull their head back and don't get stuck. Let me go before I get started. Any prayer requests? Let's remember our pastors. I thank everyone for coming out here today. Look, don't come out here for me. Don't come out here for pastor. Come out here because you love him.